curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Soans, and I have Ron Kitchens here with me in the studio. How are you this morning, Ron?
I am awesome.
Just realized I said this morning and two things. One, it's not morning, actually. We're sitting here in the afternoon. And two, we don't know when the listening audience is listening to it, so it may or may not be morning, but whatever time of day it is for you, I'm glad that Ron is feeling awesome. He usually does every time I talk to him. So that's a good thing.
The only thing I can control is my attitude.
100%. So today we're going to be discussing a topic that I believe that Faye, who works closely with you, suggested as a topic for the podcast. We're going to be discussing culture by design. So focusing here on why at Southwest Michigan First and why you encourage other leaders to not only have a strong corporate culture, but to do it very intentionally, to design it themselves for what works for their company, their employees, and to really be intentional about that versus letting it just kind of be culture by default.
That's right.
So I'm going to turn it over to you. I know we had some Gallup facts that when our leadership team was recently talking about culture, you brought forth some of the recent data about why, you know, employee engagement and culture really matters in today's workforce and in, if you want your company to be performing well.
So it is important. You know, Gallup data, which measures employee engagement, whether you're highly engaged, which means you go to work, you know, every day excited and you leave exhausted but excited about the next day, versus actively disengaged, which means you, well, we all met that person. It's the person when you walk in the office goes, oh, are you not feeling well? Oh, you look like you're coming down with something. And then an hour later, you go home sick. Not that you were sick. They just implanted that bug. And they're actively there to screw things up. So we're at all-time highs in America, and they're awful numbers. 34% of U.S. workers are engaged, which is the highest in Gallup's recorded history. Well, 18% are actively engaged. That means everybody else is kind of floating around in the middle. But only a third of people are going to work excited and gung-ho every day. So from an organizational standpoint, at a time we know we're an all-time shortage of workers, it's even worse because only a third of the workers out there are even happy. And I bet it's not the people who are wandering in your office who are unemployed. Maybe, but probably not. And so it makes it even that much harder to build a culture that and curate a culture that meets your needs. And I think one of the things that too many organizations do is they go, oh, we want to be cool like the Ritz-Carlton. Or, you know, they look at lists of best places to work and they go, okay, here's the things they do. So we're going to copy those things. Well, I can tell you our own team, and I'm not bragging, just getting the word out, is, you know, Outside Magazine named us the best place to work in America. Cranes Detroit just named us the 13th best place to work in Michigan. Wall Street Journal, best places. You know, the list goes on and on. Inc. just named us to their 500 list of best places to work. And too many people will call here and go, hey, could you just tell me the four things I need to do so I can do those things so we can make the list? Because if we make the list, we must be great. And then our profits will turn around. And it's not that easy. I wish it was. It's just not that easy.
Yeah, it's not that easy. And I think those numbers are so, I mean, they're alarming. Like when you really think about it, that 34% of the workers are engaged, that's the highest in U.S. history.
Yeah.
Since Gallup has been taking the survey. It's just shocking to me. And when you begin to go deeper with companies on, you know, why engagement matters and why it's so important to have that culture, they're talking to their leadership and their employees. And when they do that, they're finding that 90% of the people that they talk to feel like having some type of a strategy, a culture strategy would help. So if you're out there and you're thinking, you know, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants, quote unquote, it's okay. You can start a culture strategy at any time, but it's important to sit down and start somewhere with a strategy in mind rather than just like, oh, a company picnic will solve this. And, you know, giving everybody a $25 bonus to do lunch will do that, or we'll give each division a small pot of money to do this. Like those quick fixes, if they're not a part of a universal strategy, won't help drive the needle to engagement the way that you want it to.
Absolutely. And people are smart. They know when they're being manipulated. So it can't be a cultural, you know, manipulation. It has to be an open, transparent, well-communicated strategy. You know, we talk on this podcast, I wrote about it extensively in my latest book, Uniquely You. But, you know, we meet every morning as an organization, and we're sharing on a pattern of information every morning at 8:05 about what's going on in the organization, in our lives, what we're learning together. You know, people know that that's part of our culture. And in fact, it's one of those things that people write about when we ask them, what are the things we should never quit? It's the morning scrum. But we also do a book club because we're teaching people, we're learning universal truths together. You know, we eat meals together because when your name's Kitchens, you eat a lot of meals. So, but more than that, it's because we're celebrating things. This week was, we had baby showers for two members of the team who are close to having new children in their lives, and we want to celebrate that as a team and have breakfast together and do that. So it is about a conscious, well-executed, long-term strategy. It's not about let's get a cotton candy machine or let's put a slide in. I've been to organizations recently that had both of those things. Neither of those would work for our organization. It's not authentic or unique to who we are.
Exactly. And I think it's so important that authenticity piece is so important, and it's something that takes time to sit down and have deep conversations with your employees and your team in order to figure out and to continue to refine. Some corporate cultures are a little bit more quirky and fun, or maybe jeans are appropriate. Some are not. And it's okay to be whatever you are, but you just have to own it.
Just be the best you.
Exactly.
And that's authentic, and people understand what the standards are, what they're appreciated for, and what those intrinsic motivational things are. You know, my daughter Kelsey works at an advertising agency in New York, and they'll go out for drinks once a month or probably more than that as a team. And sometimes it's 6:30, 7:30, 8 o'clock. And here, We had a team retreat, and we met up at the end of the day at a local watering hole, but at 5, everybody was gone. Everybody had family and things to do. So those two different strategies, neither's wrong, neither's right, but they have to be authentic to who you are.
And I think where the authenticity comes into play is that if you don't do that right and you aren't who you naturally are, then all systems start to fail. And when you're trying to get your employees on board with where you want your culture to go or your culture strategy, you'll start to see things backfire, and you can actually create more toxicity in the organization than what you actually set out to fix. You may be doing more harm because you're not being who you are. So it's so important to do this right. And we talk about that toxic work environment. What are some of the signs that your kind of workplace is on the edge of that toxic place?
I think the biggest one that I notice most often is lack of empathy, where people quit helping each other out, or you get this attitude of that's not my job. And we rarely see it, but you do see it, and it's usually an indicator that people are overstressed or feeling underappreciated. And if you put those two things together, it gets toxic really fast. If you begin to see people slide in late or slide out early, all of a sudden, you know, there comes a regular pattern. It's like, oh, I can't, you know, it's killing me to get there, and I can't wait to leave. Those are those things that can slide in. And, you know, according to, I think it's Gallup that gave us this number, but it's nearly $500 billion, with a B, billion dollars a year that companies are losing due to active disengagement, to sabotage, to people taking advantage of sick days, to those things that just happen when you're not happy. And as much as, you know, that old world idea is not my job to make you happy, it's my job to pay you, it doesn't really work anymore if you want to be highly profitable, highly productive organization. You better care a lot about active disengagement and either change the behaviors or get rid of those people, because you can't have that cancer in your organization and still thrive.
Those are really great points. And I just want to recap a couple of them, like that lack of motivation, lack of empathy you start seeing amongst your team is a huge sign of things going bad. High turnover, people all of a sudden, you know, the positions churning quickly, also a big sign that something could be going wrong. And then just seeing that active disengagement is another one as well. I want to talk to you, Ron, about, you know, being the leader in this world of creating a good culture in an organization, because I'm sure it's hard. You know, you're one of the things I've heard you say before is that you always are trying to kind of take a little bit of a pulse check on where people are at. And you've kind of affectionately said, like, are people being impacted by like the Sunday scaries,
yep,
where like Sunday night, you're like panicking about Monday morning and dreading Monday morning. And you want our organization to be a place where on Sunday night, you may not be waking up thinking, I'm going to wake up Monday morning like, yes, I get to go. But you're not dreading. You're not feeling it's overwhelm, huge anxiety, like dread for Monday morning. And so talk to us a little bit about being the point leader and how you kind of are taking a pulse, and also how you're managing your own pulse. Because as you, there's a natural rhythm that people go through, and there are times that individuals are uncomfortable. That doesn't mean they're disengaged. And how do you manage your own energy while you're taking that pulse of everyone else and the organization?
Yeah, so the Sunday scaries are real. I'll get the data wrong, but the fact is that, or get the percentages wrong, but the fact is you have a bigger chance of dying on a heart attack on Sunday thinking about the stress of going back to work on Monday than any other day of the week. And so it's real. It's debilitating. And so we've got to make sure, you know, for my own, my rhythm that you mentioned, I know that over the weekend, I'll have lots of creative impulses. I'm one of these people that I like working on the weekends and coming up with creative ideas and working on strategy. So Monday when I come in, I have to have time to then process that and, you know, shuffle the papers into the right file folders, or it creates an anxiety that really throws my whole week off. So I know I have to manage my calendar accordingly. But then when I look at other people, we have an open concept office. And so there's various kind of formats of that, but it's still open. And so I can mostly tell how people are doing by how much laughter there is and by how much time people are spending with each other and telling stories. And that it happens sporadically, it means people are in this great rhythm and feeling good about themselves. When I begin to hear for days, everything's quiet, people are off hiding in different rooms and conference rooms, it tells me that the stress level's getting too high and we need to break it up. So, you know, something that means, you know, declaring that, you know, ice cream sundaes at 2 o'clock on Thursday. Sometimes it's just bringing everybody together and going, hey, just got to get to Thanksgiving. Just got to get there. I know it's tough right now. Other times it's about sending people down. And, you know, Brene Brown's work has really changed my leadership. And just being able to, I think she calls it rumble, but just to be able to sit down and say, let me tell you how I'm hearing or feeling you. And I may be completely wrong, so please tell me. And that is such a great way to start a conversation where somebody goes, you know, it's not you, but, you know, my son is not sleeping at night and the cat threw up on the floor and the 2-year-old saw the puke and it puked on its 4-year-old brother. And that's how my day started. And, you know, and sometimes then you can laugh and go, what the hell are you doing here? Just go home. You got a laptop. just go chill. And, you know, it'll all get done in the end. If it doesn't get done, it's not in the end. And so, but it's being conscious of that. And it is really hard as a point leader, because I carry a book of business too. I carry responsibilities that I have to do to help everybody else on top of my coaching. So it really is important that you just be in tune, and you have people around you that will go, hey, have you noticed that so-and-so's having a rough period? And maybe you ought to go be nice. And so you got to have those people around you too, who help make you a better coach.
I think those are great points for the listening audience. You know, have a group of people that you know will make you aware if this team is struggling, like to know that you have a couple people that have good sense and can be helpful in that, to kind of stay in tune and to keep that pulse. I also would say, and I've heard you say this before, but not overreacting. Like if somebody has a bad day or a bad week, or if one even group of people look stressed, you can't immediately overreact. They may just be solving a complicated problem, or they may have to go through a challenging period in order to rise again. And so as point leaders, there isn't a quick fix all the time. Sometimes there is for remedial things, and sometimes there is a season where it just is hard and you need to be there to support, but don't overreact and immediately think that the whole place is tanking and we need to, you know, fire somebody or
and
do something.
And not to be sexist, but I think it's much more a mansplain thing to see that and go, oh, no. Sir Galahad was a man and I got to be a white knight and I got to solve this problem for everybody and I'm going to jump in the middle of it and I'm going to make it better. And sometimes, like every man who's married who's listening to this has heard from their spouse, I don't need you to solve the problem. I just need you to listen. And I think cultures get screwed up and get toxic when everybody goes, oh, I can't ever appear that I don't have it 100% together. Because it either means I'm inferior and somebody's got to come in and save me and take it over, or it means I'm incompetent and I'm never going to get a chance to do this again. And so I'm sure that somebody's going to text me and yell at me about this, that it's not just men, but my 35 years in business have told me it is much more a man problem of trying to solve the problem instead of just listening and helping give advice as opposed to direction.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, I don't have that same perspective, but I think it's becoming more and more just a leadership problem in general. Like this pressure as a leader that you have to, you know, swoop in and like make sure everybody on your team feels all right. And part of that's because the workforce is so tight. You know, you're truly more and more afraid to lose people and to not have an engaged team, because what does that do to your reputation?
Absolutely.
As an individual leader and for your company? And so I think that the more and more awareness there is about having a great culture and being a good coach and leader, it's putting more and more pressure on leaders to make sure that everybody is quote unquote happy. And so the tendency is to swoop in.
Start teaching for the test.
Yeah. So you want to swoop in when actually often the best thing to do is to sit back, be there in case something's about to like crash, but to let a team work through some of their own problems and solve some of their own problems and ask questions more than you give advice.
Yep.
Hard to do. So we will end on that note. But I look forward to continuing future conversations about culture. I know it's something that both you and I are extremely passionate about. We have some other good podcast topics coming up. So tune in, listen in, and we'll see you next time on the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens, or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.